You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour. On Radio TFI.
It is indeed that time again. The Taxi Stand on RadioTFI.com. Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready to have some fun? I'm ready to have some fun. I am in a mood today. My darling wife already knows. Of course, she tell you that I'm always in a mood, so there you go. Oh, man. Anyways, I'm John Shannon. Thank you for joining us here today. Ed Van Ness is kind of sitting in the weeds because he has something to share with all of us too a little bit later on. He's going to fill us all in on how he escaped Irma from the Fort Lauderdale area. Oh, I don't mean to laugh because I was worried as shit about him when this all happened. So, anyways, but I'm gonna get right into this today because I think this is kind of important. You know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about how some of the things that we needed to do to try to bring back customers in this current era we're living in. And okay, so in South Africa, Johannesburg, if I'm not mistaken, they are having a serious situation going down there. You have an all-out war, basically, between metered taxi drivers and the quote-unquote rideshare drivers. I think they have Uber and Taxify down there, if I'm not mistaken. So, anyways, I saw a story on there, a Uber car set on fire, and so I posted it on Facebook. I said, anybody got marshmallows? Hey, I thought it was perfectly in. A little parody going on. You know, nobody really wants to see what's going on there as far as vandalism and endangering people's lives. Nobody wants to see that. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm a smartass. That's just the way I am. Like it or not, I'm a sarcastic smartass, and that was my reply. Marshmallows, anyone. So, okay, of all people, well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that, but our friend Justin LaPointe, called me on it, said we shouldn't be doing this. Says it's tacky, it's unprofessional. I don't have in front of me what he actually said, but he called me out on it. And okay, that's his right. I'm not going to all of a sudden block him from my Facebook or anything like that because I think he puts out very valuable information. But here's the deal. First off, you have to understand that there are a lot of people worldwide. I don't think it's the case here in the United States or possibly Canada, but I got to tell you something. In other parts of the world, when you take away somebody's livelihood, when you go in and you undercut prices to the point where it's predatory marketing. It's not like you're coming in there and offering, you know, 20% off of everybody else's fares, 20-25%. That's competition. Maybe that's something that the taxi industry could do for competition, you know, to actually help the consumer. No, what the Uber and the other TNCs are doing is called predatory pricing because they are operating at an unsustainable level to try to put out your competition. And in other parts of the world, that's not going very well. And South Africa just happens to be one of them. And so I don't condone, have never condoned violence. I've said that once, I'll say it a million times. I don't condone it. However, I don't blame them. I do not blame regular taxi drivers for being that upset that they're ready to torch TNC cars. I don't blame them. It's not anything new. I mean, I even remember in Las Vegas, when a new cab company came in, there were reports of vandalism there. That was a little before I arrived in Vegas, but it wasn't all that long ago when there were reports of vandalizing cars. Hell, they were burning them. They were breaking windows. And this is here in this country. How many times, you know, we all know that Uber and the other TNCs, it's basically scab labor. It's what it is. How many times here in this country have you seen violence erupting between scabs? The Hormel plant comes to mind in Minnesota. There was a huge strike, and there was violence in that. When you come into someplace and disrupt, you know, when you're scab labor, and this isn't just in the taxi industry. This is, you know, let's see if all of, in a warehouse, or not a warehouse, excuse me. Let's say you make widgets and you're making good money. You're making, $50,000 a year making widgets. Well, all of a sudden the contract renewal comes up and you have a strike, and all of a sudden somebody will come in and make widgets at, half that price. You're going to be a little pissed. You can't, all of a sudden now you can't afford to feed your family doing the line of work. And what the hell are you doing there? but no, you can't expect people to just take it lying down. And that is what you are seeing in South Africa. You are seeing this, I don't know who started it, but it's happening on both ends. The violence is happening on both ends. There have been licensed taxis that have been torched. So, I am sorry. I don't blame them. I don't condone it. I wish it could stop. But people have to realize that until the regulations for these ride shares are brought on a level playing field with the taxis, you're not going to have this. Because let's face it, if Uber and Lyft here in this country had to operate under the same guidelines as taxis, as limos, as the shuttles do, you definitely would. First off, they wouldn't be operating at the same price, because licensing costs money. Maintaining your vehicle costs money to the point where you pass inspections and what have you. So yeah, I don't see. I don't see it happening. I don't see, and I actually foresee it getting worse and spreading into other parts of the world. Here's one for you. In London, they're getting ready to decide whether or not they're going to Okay, Ed, listen. I know you're sitting there chomping at the bit. You told me that I was going to rant on my own here, but you obviously sound like you got something to say here.
Hello.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, though, in London, where they're getting ready to vote and decide whether or not they are going to renew Uber's license to operate. If it happens, I don't. I think you're going to see some violence in London. I'm not looking at the screen, Ed. That's why I'm not cracking up. But no, I you know, heaven forbid they renew their license in London. I think you're going to see problems. So, all right. Well, I have to get off this soapbox now. I wanted to get it out of my way, off my chest. Oh, say hello, Ed.
Hi, Ed.
Oh my God.
I'm waiting for a proper introduction after a couple of weeks.
You're waiting for you want something proper from me?
It's been a couple of weeks since I've been sitting in, and so you could at least give me my usual introduction.
Okay.
At the very least.
From Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Ed Van Ness.
You suck. Good morning, everyone. From our new temporary studios here in beautiful Margate, Florida. And don't make that mistake again, young man. We are in beautiful Margate. We are sitting still. We have a roof over our head, air conditioning, and all that good stuff.
How far away is Margate? Is that how you pronounce
Margate,
it?
Margate, M-A-R-G-A-T-E.
How far away is that from Fort Lauderdale?
As the crow flies, it's not. It's a suburb of Fort Lauderdale. This is where the old folks come to congregate, and well
then you ought to feel right at home.
It's official. I've been shipped off to. I'm actually in a 55 and older community right now, and it sucks. I'm 58 years old, and I'm the baby around here. It's just not. But anyway, we're back, kids. We appreciate John taking the horns here, taking the bull by the horns for the past couple weeks. By the way, brilliant interview with Christine last week. I know I said it when I came on it, but I want to say it again. I apologize. I wish I could have been an active part of that. But the situation we were in, I was literally on the road driving. And to have – it just wasn't worth taking the chance of losing our guest to have me participate. So the decision was made that I would just listen.
By the way, I do have a message for Christine, if she by chance is listening.
I love her and I want to marry her. Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, I can't hear it.
You can't hear it. I didn't do the switch over, but it got played.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it later.
Okay. But moving on.
In essence, she is definitely a hero.
She is. She look, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you're interested in the front lines of the Uber fight, especially up in Canada, where Christine is with the wonderful Beck Taxi in Toronto, Canada, follow her on Facebook. I've been following her since the early days of this. And I'll tell you what, if you listened to our interview with her last week. By the way, just as a quick aside, I will have the website up to date shortly. I've kind of had my hands full with moving and running scared out of the state. So I really haven't had a chance to update shows and all that, but I will get to that. But anyway, once I do listen to the interview that John did with her, she is just wonderful. And Christine, I'm okay. You can keep the husband. You know, I know you got kids with him, but I love you. Please marry me. I thought you were fantastic last week. I was, oh my God, my heart was all a flutter. I am smitten with you, my dear. And not in a creepy way. Well, pretty much everything.
That is very creepy.
Yeah, it is. I suppose it is. All right, I take it back. I respect you. Your opinions were spot on. You've nailed this. And I'm still a little bit in love with you, but, you know, that's not going to change. The heart wants what the heart wants, Christine. Anyway, John, how are you?
I am now that I got that all off of my chest, well, I had one more rant I wanted to talk about.
Well, but, go ahead, because I got weeks worth of stuff to talk about. and it's not like I can just come on the air anytime I want.
Well, how many times do you think that you encounter road rage down there?
Just getting out of the parking lot here at the condo?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I got road rage stories from the road.
Well,
I got a classic.
But now, did you notice it more when you were driving a marked taxi as opposed to just driving, you know, your unmarked van? I'm assuming your van now is unmarked.
Yes. Except for the dead pedestrians up front. But you know, that's neither here nor there. Not dead, slow. Honestly, there was a time I used to believe that it was because of the marked taxi that people act like extra dumb in front of me. But I'm learning that's not the case at all. People are just stupid.
Well, I don't have anything to reference it against because my taxi, like yours, you know, is your personal vehicle too.
Yes.
And so, and I don't know, but I had a guy yesterday down in downtown St. Paul. I don't know why, but I always, when I go to make a right turn, even when I have the green, or when I even proceed through an intersection, I take a pause just long enough to make sure that some yo-yo that's on their phone or doing whatever isn't flying through the intersection. So I'm careful that way. Well, I had somebody yesterday. I paused at the light, laid on his horn. I proceeded. He blew around me to the right, and then proceeded to cut me off and then pull into the turn lane, a left turn lane, which is one of the longest lights in St. Paul. And there's two lanes. So I pulled up alongside him. He started, "You drive like a little old lady," and started this and that. Oh my, you know, and just started on me. And I got to the point, because I could almost quote you the conversation we had, but I don't want to bore you with that. But it got to the point where I just sat there and outwardly laughed at him. He was that stupid. And he was getting so pissed off, I swear to God, you could see the veins popping in his head. He was that pissed off. Man, I tell you, what is it with people? You know what? Driving is not some frickin' competition where I've got to get there faster than the next person.
Don't you know that they give out trophies at the red lights?
Oh, my God.
You know, by the way, speaking of road rage, and we'll talk more in depth about Hurricane Andrew and all that. Irma.
Name the bitch right.
They all start to run together after a while, my friend. I'm going to touch on this because my friend Mike, who I'm staying with now, who traveled with me, he's only been here in South Florida for a few years. On the way back, we were listening to the radio. They were talking about, and this happens after every major storm, traffic signals are down. You are to treat every traffic signal, down traffic signal, as a four-way stop. Seems pretty simple. Well, here's how it usually goes. The first day and a half, it's kumbaya. Everybody's holding hands, singing songs. You go first. Oh, no, you go first. By about the end of the second day, it's you piece of crap. Get that blah. It's turmoil all over again. So whether we've had a major catastrophe or it's just Tuesday, doesn't matter here in South Florida. That being said, got back here Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Power was on. Didn't get a good look around until Wednesday. It appears here in Broward County, where I live, mainly cosmetic damage. Trees down, screens, you know, traffic signals out. Nothing catastrophic. We were very fortunate. Not so much for the West Coast. Our good luck was Naples' bad luck. So, but with that, so we're all safe and sound. We're all tucked in right now. Now, would you like to hear about the trip?
Oh, I do have to ask you one question, though.
By all means.
Now, you were in Florida for Charlie, weren't you?
Yes.
Didn't it seem like that Irma took the same path that Charlie did, pretty much?
Absolutely not.
Oh, really?
Because Irma came to Cuba, and if you can't see me, folks, imagine I'm doing the greatest illustration ever. Okay. It moved west. Put your hurricane map, your weather forecast map up in your head. Irma moved west, hung a hard right at Habana, and was supposed to come straight up the spine of the state of Florida. And that's serious. We mean that. It was supposed to come straight up I-95. Mm-hmm. And it would have decimated the entire state like a buzzsaw coming right through. And because the eye was about 45 miles wide, and the state's only about 120 miles wide, it would have been catastrophic.
And that's something that people have to get their head around, too, is you saw the comparison between Andrew and Irma as far as just the sheer size of the storm, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Irma was huge. But, again, what you have to remember is most storms come across the state.
Uh-huh.
Irma came up the state. Never happened before. So this is why you had this push of people evacuating. My plan, and I'll get into this a little bit now, once I saw what was going on, well, let's do a little backstory. What have I done the past couple of weeks? I've been moving. Where have I been moving to? A storage facility. Everything I own is in a storage facility. So what is my incentive for sticking around? There was none.
And you even said that the storage facility was insured, so you were...
That's right. I was good to go. I was hoping to open the facility. I was hoping I lost everything, except my TV, but I was hoping I lost everything because I actually would have made out on it. So the decision was made to go. Mike decided he was going to come with me. We traveled up north in the state of Florida Friday. We took every single back road in the interior of the state, and it was wonderful. Very little traffic, if at all. Great scenery. Beautiful day for driving. Ample food. Gas. Gas was always a wait, but it wasn't that bad. And we made it up. The plan was always to get up to the Panhandle, which is near Tallahassee. And I thought, okay, we'll spend the night there one way or another. And in the morning, get information. If Irma has gone left, it is going right. If Irma's gone right... It's going left. Because one thing Ed had that Irma did not have was a steering wheel. So I could decide. Long story short, Saturday morning we woke up in an old closed down gas station because we had to sleep in the van. You couldn't get a room. We didn't have dinner till about 1:45 in the morning. There was some accidents. Anyway. So we hadn't gotten any real information or updates. So now we find out, oh my God, it's moved west. Now we got to figure out what we're going to do. All right. So we talk, and we landed on Biloxi, Mississippi. We thought, okay, let's go. There's casinos. We'll be able to, you know. Now, for those of you that may or may not have been aware of this, I was doing Facebook Live for the entire trip, giving updates and just having a grand old time of it. So I got on and gave everybody the Saturday morning update. You know, and I got a phone call from a friend of mine, the lovely, the talented, the gorgeous Carol Boken. And she said, "You're an idiot." I said, "Well, there's news." Carol and I go back to literally when we were about 4 years old. We've known each other. She said, "Look, I've got the house in South Carolina. Go there." So we went there, just south of Myrtle Beach, 3-bedroom beach house. That's where I spent Hurricane Irma with air conditioning and TV. How about the rest of you schmucks in Florida?
Wow. No, I shouldn't say that, but wow, the people in Key West just love you right now.
Yeah, well, no, I don't mean the people in Key West. I mean the people up in Broward County. Because I was getting phone calls and text messages. The brunt missed us. You're an idiot for leaving. Really? You're sitting with no power. I'm okay. So, again, thanks to Carol, and I realized I walked in this house. It's beautiful. It's all that. I should have pursued this girl when we were younger. She did okay for herself.
Well, there you go.
So we spent a couple days there. We got the Outer Bands of Irma Monday night. Now, mind you, folks, I'm cutting a lot out of this story. I'm just giving you the headlines. And we made our way back Tuesday morning. Monday night, we got 40, 50-mile-an-hour wind gust. It wasn't so bad. I mean, you forget that the folks in South Carolina are shell-shocked. We had to go through Charleston. Charleston has been hit numerous times, and that whole area has been devastated numerous times by hurricanes. And when you think about it, the state of Florida sits there with its chin out into the Atlantic, pointing to it and saying, come on, come on, take a shot at me. And we get lucky. Harvey was the first storm to make, the first named hurricane to make impact since Hurricane Wilma in 2005.
You mean Irma was the first?
No, Harvey was the first. Harvey hit Texas.
Yeah.
It was the first hurricane to make impact since Hurricane Wilma back in 2005.
Oh, you're talking I thought you were talking about Florida. You're saying
No, in the U.S.
Okay. Go ahead and tell the story. I'm gonna mute myself for a second.
No, I
do have to step away. So,
my goodness, you know we're doing this show every. Oh, he takes his headphones off. Now I can talk about him. So we made our way back Tuesday morning. We left. We took US 17. We had a little problem on I-95. Going through Georgia, south of Savannah. But once we got through that, and again, I don't want to go into the whole story without John being here, because John doesn't realize we do a one-hour show once a week and yet still needs to find a break in here. So we wound up driving. It took a little longer than we thought Tuesday. But I can say this through all of it. On Saturday, we were on Interstate 10 and on I-95, and then Tuesday again on Interstate 95. We saw plenty of utility crews, little caravans, little convoys, 6-8 trucks at a time. And on Saturday, we knew they were going to stage in various places, and Tuesday they were heading for places that needed help. My goodness, Georgia and northern Florida got hit very hard. And it was just incredible. And so the six college girls got dressed and I sent them on their way. I said, thanks. It was an experience. And, they said only because it was the hurricane that they would ever do something like that. John, you'll hear that story on the replay. Any questions, John?
Not whatsoever.
John just sat back down, has no idea what we were talking about, kids. But we had a good experience. Friday was a blast because we were going up through the state of Florida. Open up a map, look at the state of Florida, disregard every major highway, and you will see the roads we were on the interior of the state. We saw moo cows and horses and just all sorts of stuff. We went through the sugarcane fields in the center of the state, which I expected. I've been through there before, but it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I will say this, there was at a point we were feeling, it was later in the day, and we were feeling, well, are we doing the right thing? Are we heading in the right direction? And it was just, we just weren't sure because we weren't getting all the information we needed. And then it came to us, Gilchrist. Yep. We found Gilchrist. Gilchrist found us. Well, we stumbled across him. Gilchrist is God's other son, Jesus' cooler brother. Cooler, not smarter. And I'll tell you what, Gilchrist pointed to us and said, follow my signs, child. And we did. Every $2.69 gasoline sign that we saw was a sign from Gilchrist. And Gilchrist couldn't steer us because of the DUI he had, but Gilchrist was there for us. Everything we needed, Gilchrist was there. I feel that now I am the conduit for Gilchrist.
And now suddenly Gilchrist has his own Twitter feed. So
Gilchrist has his own Twitter feed. What you have to remember about Gilchrist will always be there for you unless it's happy hour or there's a Golden Girls rerun on. He'd be loving him some Blanche. We found out some stuff about Gilchrist during our travels. Once we opened up our doors and allowed him in, we found out Gilchrist has a different mother than his brother. Okay, we don't know much about Gil's mother. We do know this about Mary. She was God's side piece. And I said some other things about Mary the other day on the live broadcast. I said Mary was a whore because she was messing around. She was married, for God's sake. And poor Joseph walks in. What's he supposed to say? Oh, you got pregnant. You're pregnant. Oh, and nobody laid a mitt on you, right? Yeah, right. Immaculate Conception, my eye.
Well, why do you think there were three guys carrying gifts?
Well, look, we saw Mel sneaking out the back door. But we're going to focus on Gilchrist, because Gilchrist is who, you know. Gilchrist embraces. And once you get past the smell of old beer and cigarettes, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Remember, Jesus saves, Moses invests, Gilchrist squanders. Jesus had, as a kid, his father gave him a brand new car for high school graduation. Poor Gil was stuck with an ox cart. We're going to have more on Gilchrist because I feel Gilchrist is my life now. And
so here's the thing, Ed, that you're going to probably run into. People are going to wind
you mean
up
going
asking,
to hell. Going
well,
to hell?
No, people are going to ask you how you are getting along in your life and what you are, you know, what you're doing and what your mission is, and you know, all you have to do is tell them
we're on a mission from God. We're on a mission from God.
We've got a half a tank of gas, a full tank of, we've got a half a pack of cigarettes, a full tank of gas. It's dark and we're wearing sunglasses.
Wearing sunglasses, absolutely. I think Gilchrist is going to wind up having his own show either.
Oh, well, are you still hearing my music in the background?
I'm not, because remember.
Oh, well, turn your thing off. You're ruining my whole bit here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, excuse me, Gilchrist.
That's right. Don't make them. By the way, it's funny you should mention Gilchrist in his own show, because coming soon to a RadioTFI.com near you, it will be the Gilchrist Hour of Power.
Oh,
brothers
my.
And sisters, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Gilchrist will be here to aid and abet you in everything, in all your needs, in all your troubles. Gilchrist will be there. Not all the time. Again, there's happy hour, there's Golden Girls reruns. You have to keep that all in mind.
Of course.
But Gilchrist will at least keep a crooked eye out for you. Remember, Jesus is cooler, not smarter, brother.
Oh.
Gilchrist is there for you. Gilchrist is, well, he's there for most people, you know. And as you know, look, he's back, and it's better late than, well, whatever.
By the way, folks, if you want to join into this madness, you're more than welcome to. All you got to do is
praise him.
Oh, jeez. Anyways,
praise him, Gilchrist, the First Church of the Gooey Death and Discount House of Worship.
Oh,
set the affected part of your body onto your computer. Gilchrist will get to you soon enough.
Somebody, please, please, please send the men with the white coats. I'm sorry. I think he might have got hit by debris, and I didn't realize it. Anyways, if you want to join into this conversation, and I'm not sure why you would, but
why would you?
Exactly. But anyways, just look up Radio TFI on Skype. Just buzz into us here. Tell Ed how crazy he is, and go ahead and join in. We'd
crazy.
Love to.
Crazy! I have found my savior, Mike, and I. Like I said, I am the conduit for Gilchrist here now.
Oh.
Gilchrist presented himself to us, and who are we to turn him down? Sure, we were just going to step over him on the sidewalk like everybody else, but we said no, no, no. We're going to follow Gilchrist until he leads us into the path of redemption, or into the nearest liquor store, whichever would come first. Gilchrist, say hallelujah, say amen.
Well, you know what, Ed? I hate to tell you, but I think Adrian Cronauer was correct.
You're in more dire need of a blowjob than any white man in history.
Very good. All right. Look. Turn that stuff off. You're killing my bit here. Killing my bit. So anyway, in all seriousness, I am not kidding you. Every time we had a problem on the road, we would see a sign for 269 gas, and we were good. Whatever it was, I wish I was making this part up. Whatever we needed, we would see a sign for $2.69 gas, and lo and behold, there it was. Gilchrist, there's something to Gilchrist. I'm not a man of faith. I'm not a man of religion. But that being said,
that's pretty fucking obvious.
That being said, we're gonna talk more about Gilchrist down the line as we convert RadioTFI.com to Gilchrist.com. And
oh,
by the way, you can follow Gilchrist now. He has joined Twitter at Gilchrist269. That's an actual for real account on Twitter, and Gilchrist will be posting when it suits him or when he comes to. So, John, any questions about my trip other than the fact that I found my savior?
Oh, well, no, I think you pretty much covered it, to tell you the
you
truth.
You think so?
I think it's covered.
Well, there's more to the trip, which I guess we can talk about. We had a wonderful time. We met a lot of nice people. Oh, I want to talk to you about road rage very quickly. And okay, this is – so Tuesday we're making our way back. And from where we were, Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, you take U.S. 17. We stayed on that straight through to past Savannah, Georgia. In the process of staying on that road, we had jumped off at one point to try to get fuel and all that. So we're going back to the road. And I have to make a left turn to get back onto 17 south. And we're at a T crossing. So everybody coming southbound, half the people are making a left turn were on the street I was on, because there was gas and it was a big intersection. So I was finally able to make my left turn and get out. And there's a big, wide, probably 20-foot wide median, just with painted double yellow lines. My van doesn't move like it used to, so it was a perfect place for me to get into and then just make a run-up to get out into traffic. So I'm signaling and all that. I've got all the room in the world. I get out into the one lane, and this knucklehead behind me comes rolling right up to the bumper. And some millennial nitwit. So I can see him and the girl in the passenger seat. They're having fits of gyrations. Oh, what an, you know, they're pissed off. Because clearly they couldn't see the bright white van in the sunlight with the turn signal on, moving out, moving into the lane. He guns it, comes around me. By the way, it's a Saturn station wagon. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's cool. Gets in front of me, guns it, slams on the brakes, and takes off. By the way, New York State plates. I read into that what you will.
What so the fuck is he doing in Florida with New York, especially
southbound?
Now.
Southbound, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm a little ticked. I let it go. We get into this intersection in this small town, and everybody's waiting for the light. If the light's working, you just gotta. And there were two ways to go, right or straight. So I'm just about to, I'm moving into position to take my spot in line. And lo and behold, who cuts me off again but Mr. Nitwit? So there was a space on the road to the right. I pulled up the van next to him, stopped, got out, walked over, and he began unbuckling his belt. I got him to roll his window down. I can see his girlfriend or wife, whatever, is getting panicky. And I look inside the car, and you know what I saw? Probably about a three-year-old and an infant. And
I said to him, to a revelation. Go ahead.
Let me finish the story.
Yeah.
So I'm furious. At first, I was going to blast him, and I said, "What kind of idiot are you? You've got children in this car." I said, "What do you think you're winning here? Are you the only one that's in this situation? Calm the F down." Now, what was interesting was that after that, and I'm just beside myself, because now I'm more upset that he's got kids in the car and driving like this. So we leave, and now it's two lanes for the next bit of road. This son of a bitch wouldn't get closer than 500 feet to me, let alone pass me.
Yeah, well, that's kind of that guy I was talking about too. He got a little panicked when I was actually taking a left, like I was getting ready to get on the same way he was, and I was on his ass. And then I duped him. I took a right turn to actually work. But
well, just to kind of tie things up for Irma right now, again, I just want to look, if you're out there listening and you can help either the folks in Texas with Harvey or the folks here in the state of Florida, Georgia, I can tell you coming through Georgia, the final 50 miles of I-95, you couldn't exit because of damage. They wouldn't let you unless you lived there. And the few exits you could get off on, there were no services. Everything was shut down. So if you're listening, if you can do anything to help at all, and by the way, that does not mean Dade, Broward, Palm Beach counties. We're fine. Anybody solicits you from these counties, they're full of it. There's nothing here that a little duct tape won't fix. We're doing just fine. But help the folks in Texas. And, by the way, because it just wouldn't be the taxi stand hour without mentioning our favorite nitwit, and I can tie this into the hurricane. You saw my tweet the other day, John, when I opened up my social media and I looked, and lo and behold, there's the president and the first lady getting off the plane in Florida. And what are they wearing? They're white hats. You never pass up a chance for merchandising.
No, absolutely not.
Under the best of circumstances, with the best of presidents, a president coming into an area like this at a time like this, all it does is suck resources out.
Yes, it does.
This nitwit's got, look, he's doing nothing. Did you see the piece about the my hands are too big?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that didn't, President Dumbshit was doing a photo op to help serve food. I'm sure he did it for all of about 8 seconds. But the woman is helping him get prepped. You know, they've got to put on, at the very least, the gloves. Trump looks up at the media and says, "My hands are too big for the gloves."
Was that supposed to be humor?
No, that's supposed to be, "Look at my hand. I have a big penis." You know, you turn to the woman, you say, "Look, the gloves are too small. Can you help me?" No, he's anyway, look, Melania's doing hurricane assessments in 5-inch heels. Life is good. Are we ready to move on to something with a little bit more fun?
Well, I got to say this, though. When you were talking about your road rage experience, I've come to a conclusion. And if I piss off a couple people here, so be it. I have come to the conclusion that millennials are probably, they are probably the reason for more than a half a dozen problems in life, including Uber.
But they look good doing it.
Who says who? I think they look like fucking morons, if you want to know the truth.
You should have seen the full. You should have listened to the whole story instead of getting up in the middle of the one-hour show we do once a week that you can't make it through.
Well, I'm sorry. I drink a lot of coffee and water in the early morning just to
let's
wake up.
Let's change topics. What do you say?
Let's change topics.
Are you ready?
Yes,
okay.
I'm ready.
So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for many, many years now, privately, I have had a little thing that I do for myself. It's called Ed versus the Spread. Now, what I do
with
Ed versus the
Spread. You have to be careful, though, when you say, "I have this little thing I do for myself." That sounds kind of creepy in its own right.
You leave my little thing out of this. So, what I've done for years is I pick every NFL game against the point spread. I keep track of it. It's been more of a mathematical challenge to build. I've built a whole little spreadsheet around it, and I have fun. I've been doing this now, oh my goodness, 15 years or so. I've never finished a year with under a 60% winning
success
percentage.
Success rate.
Now, Now, just to be so you know, I always the my only real rule is I always choose the Dolphins. I always pick them no matter what the line is, no matter what the point spread is, no matter who they're playing. I always choose the Dolphins. That being said, we're bringing a new feature to the Taxi Stand Hour. Every week, we're going to choose some games here. We're going to give you, for entertainment purposes only, we're going to let you in on our knowledge. And we're going to pick our games. And what you choose to do with that information is entirely up to you, kids. Now, I spoke to John about this earlier, and he decided he wants to play too.
Oh, it sounds like fun. You have to also have to remember that I lived out in Las Vegas for 5 years.
Right.
And I supplemented my income nicely.
We're not talking this is for entertainment purposes only.
Oh, we put out the information. I don't give a rat's ass what they do with it.
All right. So John's going to start us off. Well, obviously, we couldn't do it last week. By the way, last week I went 8-7. Not one of my better weeks, but hey, what are you going to do? Wait a minute, Ed. There were 16 games last week. No, there wasn't. The Dolphins and Buccaneers could not play thanks to Irma. By the way, a little quirk in the scheduling. Dolphins don't have another scheduled home game till the middle of October, so it works out nicely for everybody involved. John, go ahead with your picks. Who's your first pick this week?
Right now I have San Francisco plus 13.5 points.
Oh. So you think they're going to beat Seattle?
I think that they are going to beat the Seattle, or I think that they are going to. Seattle is a 13.5 point favorite over San Francisco.
So you like
I think is idiotic.
So you want to get those points?
I'll take those points in that one.
All right. And who's your second pick, my friend?
The Los Angeles Clippers. I mean Chargers.
No, yeah. No. Your second pick.
My second pick. That is my second pick.
No. The other pick, the Oakland game.
Oh, okay. Well, Jesus Christ. Hey, I was writing them as I was reading them as I wrote them. Oakland, 13.5 favorite over the New York Jets.
And any particular reason? 13.5 points. Boy, you like those big point spread games, don't you?
Yeah,
you just chose them at random, was it?
I think I had them served to me, to be honest with you. But
okay.
I won't say by who, but yes, I had them served.
So in this case, you're giving up 13.5 points.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, you're a ballsy man. Braver man than I.
Oakland, actually, it's funny. You're going to find out with Oakland, as you probably know by now, Oakland, the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas in a couple of years.
Shocking.
And you're going to find out that they're going to start playing inspired football there. They're probably going to go to the Super Bowl in their last year of their
in Oakland.
In Oakland, so yes, they're 13.5 point favorite over the Jets. I'm taking them. I think that I think it's also a no-brainer in this one.
All right, and your final pick, sir.
My final pick is the Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, did I already did that once? That's not funny.
You did that off
time.
The air.
But anyways, the Los Angeles Chargers are 5.5 point favorites over the Miami Dolphins.
And your choice on that game?
I think that the Miami Dolphins are going to be smoked like a can of sardines. And
shocking. That is. Oh, my God.
I will take the Chargers and those 5.5 points.
Oh, my God. That hurts me. That hurts me.
Well, but, I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be payback time when you do your picks.
All right. So to recap, John likes the 49ers over the Seahawks getting 13.5 points, Oakland over the Jets giving 13.5 points, and then the stupid bet of the week likes the L.A. Chargers giving up 5.5 points over my Miami Dolphins. Fine, have it your way.
You damn now, straight.
Now let's go to the real picks. I went 8-7 last week, folks, overall. I lost the Thursday night game. We won't be talking about Thursday night games here because of the scheduling factors. So pretty much we'll be focusing on the Sunday games, occasionally the Monday games. Here's Ed's picks for the weeks. Kansas City giving up 5.5 over Philly. Kansas City, I think, is the team to watch this year. This is the team that goes deep, deep, into the postseason. Not only that, I've always loved their helmets.
You and me both.
Next, you've got, now this is one the near and dear to my heart, and I watched them stumble last week. The New England Patriots will be playing in New Orleans this Sunday. I am taking the Saints, getting 6.5 at home over that evil, evil Tom Brady. By the way, Gilchrist hates Tom Brady. I can't explain it, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. He hates Tom Brady.
Do you think this is the year that Tom Brady starts going into his decline?
I think this is the year that Tom Brady trips over one of Gilchrist's beer cans. That's what I believe is going to happen. That's me, though. And finally, as we wait for the music to play out. And finally, my lock pick of the week. This is going to happen, kids. This one, you can bet the imaginary ranch. Sell your lungs. Take everything you own. Your socks, your shoes, your Gilchrist Memorial pendants. Put it all on the Minnesota Vikings getting 6.5 points over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, why do we choose the Minnesota Vikings? Because we're really weak, and we're just trying to appease our broadcast partner here. Yeah. They've got the lamest helmets in the league right now with that flat finish, and I don't appreciate it. Shine those helmets up, my goodness. How do you expect help from Gilchrist if you're going to have flat paint helmets? Anyway, that's my lock pick for the week. Them there Minnesota Vikings over them there Pittsburgh Steelers. So to review, we've got John, San Francisco +13, Oakland -13.5, the Chargers -5.5. I'm taking Kansas City -5.5, New Orleans +6.5, and finally, your lock, bet it all, the Minnesota Vikings. That's your football picks for the week. From here on the Taxi Stand Hour.
And they will all be a lock.
I know.
I think between the two of us, we're going to go 6-0.
I think you're dreaming, but, you know, that's me. I think you're dreaming. All right, well, we managed to kill off most of the show there and accomplish very little. I like that. It feels good to be back sitting down doing a show. In a place that I'm not, that's either not moving or I'm not being evicted from. it appears that we'll be hopefully in the next month or so. Oh, by the way, a little station news here. For right now, we're putting the nighttime show on hold until I can get a little bit more situated and get things squared away a little bit. I don't want to start something up that I'm going to have to keep interrupting. So we're going to put the nighttime show on hold. I am definitely coming back to it. There's no question about it. I was enjoying the format. I was having people in and having just a nice hour-long conversation with people, and I enjoy that, and I have a list of people that I want to speak to. And so I'm looking forward to getting back into that. But just the circumstances right now, I'm not going to rehash everything, but between my current living situation and blah blah blah, so we're just gonna put that on hold for the moment.
The $1 million question is, Ed, though, you have a lot of people that you want to speak to. The million dollar question is, do they want to speak to you?
Well, there you go. That's where duct tape and clothesline comes in, and that's why it's in the budget.
Let's go through a few headlines here.
Why don't we do that?
Okay. So, anyways.
Before you do that, John.
Yes.
Make sure I can hear, because I want to know when the cue comes. By the way, did you adjust the closing?
I did.
All right, put it up so I can hear it. Big time professional radio, kids.
Of course, exactly.
We do all this stuff live and on the fly. God, I can't wait till I have control again.
Hey, you did your share of flub ups there too, bud.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway. Christ is my savior.
Anyways, Uber driver somehow doesn't know how he got 19.1 kilos of cocaine in his car.
That's a real head scratcher, isn't it?
How You know, I tell you, it really is. Uber is the gift that keeps on giving. I hate to say it. I almost wish that they'd stay in existence just for that particular reason.
Can you? I'm trying to.
What's your drama now?
I'm trying to grab your mouse.
I know you're not going to grab my mouse.
Oh, this show is so much funnier when you can see it. And
pretty soon
we're going to start doing a Facebook Live now that I've got the taste for that now.
That is pretty cool. I will say that.
Some of you may or may not know, I broadcast most of that journey on Facebook Live with Intermediate Reports, and John viewed some or all of it, and yeah, I thought it worked out pretty well. Anyway, so 19.1 kilos. I have no idea how that got there, officer.
I really don't.
I have no idea.
It was my passenger. He had a suitcase. Yeah. He put it. Oh yeah, okay. Right. Anyways, and you know, it's funny that Uber drivers are involuntarily or voluntarily, whatever, unknowingly, probably becoming drug mules.
Oh, there's no question about it. It's the cheapest way to go. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. When I first started driving cab, I'm sure I did it a few times. But after a while, you gain a little experience in life, mm-hmm. and you realize what's going on here. But you know, the drug runs are probably the safest runs you can possibly do for one mm-hmm. reason. Mm-hmm. There they are. And I'll tell you why. Because the drug runner doesn't want anything to happen to draw the attention of the police to what's going on.
In that situation, I'll agree with you. By the way, I have to push aside for a second. Speaking of Uber and bad things.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day I was out, I'm back working and waiting on some of my own work to show up. And I get an XL call on Uber. I thought, okay, this will first good shot of the day. I pull up to a house and it's on the beach and it's near the ocean. It's people have a couple dollars. They have a nickel and a dime. It's a group of five, boys, 10 and 11 years old. The 10-year-old Hunter has his own account. If I'm a child molester, I just hit the kiddie lottery. Mm. I could have loaded those five little boys up and just done whatever I wanted to do. Just putting it out there, kids and kittens. So anyway, go ahead, John, with what do you got next?
So in Portland, the city that was going to nail Uber to the cross for the what was that called again? The little gray ball tool to avoid being nabbed by authorities. There are no penalties in Portland for Uber's efforts to evade regulations.
Well, apparently bribery money has made its way out to Oregon, where it dried up in England. It's now been that now we know what happened to the bribe money in England. It's now out in Oregon. And I understand there's going to be a ticker tape parade, too, for Uber in Portland.
Oh, yes. So what do you think the odds are? I mentioned this earlier. What do you think the odds are of London renewing Uber's license to operate?
You know, they're so screwed up there. That TFL is so screwed up. I can't even hazard a guess. I mean, it's all coming to light now, and I really do believe that the corruption money has dried up, and that's why suddenly there's a push. Now Uber's being told, oh, really? You stop paying? Well, let's see how this... I mean, the evidence is overwhelming for the fact that they shouldn't be licensed, not just in London, but anywhere, for God's sake. But London is a key domino. Once that falls, it starts getting easier and easier. And you know what? You don't have to ban them. You don't have to make them illegal. Just make them follow the rules.
Absolutely. Well, you know what that sounds all about here, folks?
I do know what that sounds all about.
And it actually...
It means people love me.
Boy, you are fantasizing. You are fantasizing, my friend. Well, anyways, it's about that time again to put another hour.
I can't hear you. Lower the volume.
Oh, hold on just a second, damn it. How is that?
That's better.
That's better. Anyways, it's time to put another show into the can. Ed will have this show up on the server probably a week from next Thursday.